As promised, on the live line with us is C.W. Nebius. He is he's a reporter, and he has reported on all sorts of things, doing it in the sports arena for the Press Democrat. C.W., great to have you here.
Okay, great to be there.
Okay, first disclaimer, full acknowledgement, I am not the world's largest football fan. So my
But wait.
I know a little bit about it, and Super Bowl Sunday is so much more than a football game. It's an event all on its own. So, but first, let's talk about specifics. Number one, will Tom Brady ever retire, especially if the Patriots win on Sunday?
Exactly. Well, the first thing I say is, the Super Bowl is one football game where a lot of people will be watching their first football game of the season.
Yeah.
So it's become, as you said, it's a cultural event.
Yep.
It's a whole week, and just the silliness that's come out of the Super Bowl week and does every week is a good example of that. Tom Brady says he wants to play till at least 45.
And wow.
That sounds crazy, but Yager Jagr, who I'm sure you know.
Yes.
He's a hockey player. He just retired at 45, and hockey is one demanding sport. Brady has all these, some say crazy, some say very clever, ways to keep himself healthy and fit. He's got this very strict program. He's a vegan. He drinks tons of water. He does all this deep tissue massage and so forth. So he's certainly making the effort. But these are big, angry men, Pat, and when they hit you,
yeah,
it leaves a mark. And I think that would be the concern, is you can do all you can to take care of your body, but boy, when some of those guys hit you full speed, it can quickly end a career.
It's funny you mentioned that, because earlier this morning we were talking about our favorite football movies, and I was describing the opening scene of the old movie North Dallas 40, where it's all about Nick Nolte and his excruciating efforts to get out of bed on a Monday morning after a Sunday afternoon game. So it's the same thing you're talking about.
That was a great scene. It was a great movie, a great book.
Yeah,
I always remember the line I remember from that book is the player says to the general manager, every time I say it's a game, you tell me it's a business. Every time I say it's a business, you tell me it's a game. You know, and it's just that whole thing of using people up. And it is a very difficult physically, and as we're learning now, something sticks with you for the rest of your life. And
And
see some of these people now.
You know, all of us wonder, and we wonder this about entertainment figures too, with regard to Tom Brady, really, how much more money do you need, and how much more do you want your body to withstand, you know, and how much more attention do you need? It seems like all of those things are all involved in a decision like Tom Brady quitting football.
I think it really is addictive. I think there's a part of it that's, guys like Tom Brady have played football and played quarterback since they were probably 8 years old. And to be at this level and to, I think this whole band of brothers thing, there's really something to that, the idea of getting a group of people together, forming a unit, being successful. I think it's really a high. It's difficult to, it's difficult to replicate that anywhere else. But saying that, you do wish, when you see people hanging on, that they'd think in a bigger picture and say, you know, I've got another 30 years, 40 years of my life. I need to make sure that I can have good quality of life.
Yeah. Should Gronkowski play players this weekend, CW?
Yeah, that's a good question. I go back to the first question I have, which is, why wasn't that a penalty? Why wasn't that targeting when he was hit? One of the defensive backs had him. The safety came over. He hit him head-to-head, and Gronkowski was almost unable to get to his feet. And to me, I thought we were going to really crack down. This is it's one of the foremost issues in football right now, is that these head injuries are happening on a regular basis. Why is it? I've got a radical idea, which is, when you hit someone like that and Gronkowski is out, I would say the person who hit him, if it's been determined that was targeted, he should stay out until that player returns to the field.
Yeah, that's a very interesting notion. I don't think it'll happen, but it's a very interesting notion.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, and I think defensive coaches in particular, would say, If I can get a terrific head-to-head shot on the quarterback, who's the best player on the team, and it puts him out of the game,
yep.
and they give me a 15-yard penalty, I'll take that.
Yeah.
15-yard penalty? No big deal.
Yeah.
You're telling me you're going to get Tom Brady out of the game? Terrific. Let's do that. Don't hold back, you know. We'll live with the penalty.
I'm just hoping that Janet Jackson somehow makes an appearance on Sunday. I mean, just to put a little log on the fire, you know, just to make it a little more interesting. Because as you say, it is an event. I'm one of those people who will be watching the football game, my first football game of the year on Sunday for many reasons, and the commercials and the food and, you know, all of that stuff. Because as you say, it really has become a cultural event. But what about the seemingly waning interest that football is experiencing?
Well, I think that millennials are not that interested in football. We're seeing that's a clear demographic breakdown. 18 to 29 is something like 23-25%. So that's a group that just isn't that interested. I think the head injuries are a big part of it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's overexposed. I think that Thursday night football is a terrible idea for the physical health of players and also for the ratings. They're killing the goose. They play the golden egg. They're oversaturated market with this stuff. And it's a little cynical. And I also think that, you know, there's probably some concern about the protests. Personally, I think that's probably healthy. But all of those things. And, by the way, television ratings for almost everything are down.
Very true.
People are watching. They're cutting the cord.
Yeah, that's true.
As far as halftime, I would just say, your listeners, if they have a spare moment today, go on YouTube and pull up Prince's halftime show at the Super Bowl. It was one of the great performances.
I remember that. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
There's actually a short documentary about it, and the organizers realized that the enormous rainstorm was going to hit right about halftime. And it started that night. And the guy who was producing the show called Prince and said, I just want you to know, it's going to be raining during your performance. And you've got all this electronics and stuff. And it just so you know, and Prince said, can you make it rain harder?
Yeah, it goes with show. Thematically, it worked out for him. And you're right, that was one of the great Super Bowl halftime shows. And, okay, what about the final score? What is your prognostication?
Well, I'm just going to go with what everybody else is saying. I think it's going to be a closer game. We think there's two good defenses, and Philadelphia has an excellent defense. What you would hope, if you're rooting for a good game, what you would hope is that the Patriots don't jump off to a big lead. Now,
yeah.
Their history is to be behind early and come back, and that's always a good viewing. We love to see that. We love to see comebacks. So I'm going to say 27-24.
That's a good game right there.
I think so. I think, you know, and again, what is it that makes a good game? Lead changes. That's what we want to see.
We want
to see one team get good lead, and they don't get the lead. We want to see somebody come back. Something's going to happen that we're going to be talking about on Monday. Just some crazy play, or
yep.
some controversial play. We don't know what it's going to be, but it's going to be something. And, between that and the commercials, Super Bowl's underway.
Well, the officials in Philadelphia are already telling the fans, listen, if the team wins on Sunday, don't go anywhere near downtown. We don't want you here. And don't expect to tear up this town because we're not going to let you do that. And apparently what they did when the Eagles won the championship was that they put Crisco all over the light poles, the fence posts, everything near the town square so that people couldn't shimmy up for a better view. And they say they might not do it this, if it happens on Sunday, but still, that's a pretty effective way to keep people on the ground anyway.
Well, you won't believe this, but I have an update to the Crisco story.
Really?
I'm actually scooping myself. I'm going to put this in my column in the Press Democrat.
Very good.
But they did put Crisco on the light poles for the NFC Championship game 2 weeks ago. And the Eagles won. And the fans were so determined that they shimmied up anyway, despite the Crisco. So here's the update. A pornographic website has sent to the city of Philadelphia 110 pounds of lubricant. And they say, with, and they have a press release saying, this is to prevent tomfoolery.
That's hilarious. That is hilarious.
That's one of those, somebody saw an opening, somebody saw an opportunity.
Yeah.
But what I was going to say is, because product placement is so important, yeah, right?
No kidding. That's fantastic. I love that. Thanks for sharing that with us.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
it's February 1st. And to me, that means it's 14 days until spring training starts. And I'm excited about that.
Yep.
And so we've got a couple of acquisitions for the San Francisco Giants. We have, of course, Longoria, and we have McCutchen. Will it make enough of a difference for San Francisco this year?
Well, as my old editor used to say, that's why we play the games, to see what's going to happen. But I was not in the conference call with Lawrence McCutchen, but I was in a press briefing with Longoria. And he was terrific. I mean, he was the face of the Miami team.
Yeah.
And the go-to quote, he was the guy. Very, very thoughtful, perceptive. He was funny. If he has a season like last year, I think he'd be great. And I actually spoke to someone on a competing radio station. Their callers are as easy as KNBR. And I said, is Longoria going to get a radio show? And he said, did you hear McCutchen? And I said, no. And he said, well, he may have even been better.
Really?
So I think they've added two guys that people are going to really like. They're really going to enjoy what they do. They're going to enjoy talking to them and that kind of thing. They just need to put together numbers that are consistent with what they've done in the past. They're both in their 30s. Certainly it's a concern, but I was impressed. So we'll see.
Well, I'm happy to hear that because I think they're both good acquisitions. Although in McCutchen's case, I in the very, very back of my mind, I keep thinking Aaron Rowand, you know.
Yeah.
So hopefully it's not going to turn into that. And will the A's catch a break this year? I mean, there's so much been said about not only the lineup, but of course the Coliseum. And it just seems like they really need a shot in the arm.
Well, they do, and I just, I went out a couple times last year, and it just seems like such a sad, dispirited group. I mean, the players are all playing their hearts out, and I would just say right off the top, I'm a big fan of Bob Melvin, the manager.
Mm-hmm.
There's a guy who's been manager of the year in both leagues, but he's managing with one hand tied behind his back.
At least.
I actually talked to, and his foot, too.
Yeah.
The Giants, are talking about staying under this salary cap. We're not supposed to call it a salary cap, but that's what it is. So it's like $197 million. And I don't want to tell tales out of school here. I spoke to someone in the A's organization, and I said, boy, they're trying to stay under the salary cap. And he said, oh, are you kidding? I don't think we'll make it to $60 million. I mean,
wow,
they're barely making an effort, and it's hard to watch. God bless the Oakland fans who are coming out there and watching those games.
No kidding.
It's a warm place to watch, but they've got to get a new ballpark.
Yes.
And they dropped the ball so badly on this Laney College thing. I talked to some of the people at Laney College and some of the people at the academic union. They came to see us once. They answered almost none of our questions. We didn't feel like they were taking us seriously. And they turned it down. And you just can't do that. Every little detail has to be handled, and I wish they'd sell the team. I wish Fisher would sell the team to, I don't know who, Oracle. And, put together something. We've proved in San Francisco that a ballpark can make a huge difference in a city.
And I think Oakland deserves that.
And needs it.
Yeah.
I mean, Oakland deserves a hand up. They're trying. They've always had a difficult time. But come on, this could be important to the city. And just to see the team, again, not even trying. Doesn't seem like they're even trying. They get to the players, they trade them away. People at the ballpark said, I'd buy a jersey, but I don't feel like I can do it. As soon as I buy it, they trade the guy. So why would I want to buy his jersey? It's just kind of sad and dispiriting.
Yeah.
And I think the only way out is to just turn the whole thing upside down and start over.
Yeah, I think you might be right about that. Well, I'll tell you what, I appreciate the conversation this morning, CW, and also, of course, the insider information. Personally, I will be watching the polls in downtown Philly this weekend.
Everyone will, right? Thank you, Pat.
Yes,
it.
And we'll talk again as we open up spring training and see what you think for the Giants and the A's.